and I do mean this in the nicest way, he makes me feel so unhealthy. Hey, it's Drew from 99.3 Moose FM, Wes Nipissing's best music. Welcome to another episode of Fascinating People. We have with us Ghislain Ducharme. You've probably seen him walking around, Wes Nipissing. Actually, we brought it up at some point in this interview. He has a black cowboy hat, wears a little bit of leather, and he just loves walking. So odds are, you've actually seen Ghislain out there in the wild. And you may not have known this about him, but he's an athletic freak. And again, I mean this in the nicest possible way, because he tells me about all of these runs he's doing, all of these cycling events that he's doing, and his journey to get from one point of his life to the other. It's a fascinating tale, which is why he's on an episode of Fascinating People. And you can too. If you have a fascinating story, if you're a fascinating person, if you know a fascinating person, send me an email, drew@moosefm.com. We'll see if we can't get you on the next episode. And the policy, the tagline, the overall idea of Fascinating People is this: everybody is fascinating. You just got to find out how. Now, without any further ado, let's have a nice chat with Mr. Ducharme.
My name is Ghislain Ducharme. I'm 40 years old. I'm a resident here of West Nipissing. Born and raised in Verner. I moved away and came back.
What was your reason for moving?
Work. The minute I graduated from college, I got a job out in Kirkland Lake and went out there. And
yeah, when you're right out of school, you want to get the first job that comes your way.
Exactly, and the full time hours is what you're looking for. And they offered it over there, so I moved there. And after, I believe it was 3 years, I came back to the area. Kind of got a job in town here, and they wanted me for the Christmas break. And at that point in time, they let me go, I believe it was in February. And from there on, I've left the nursing field and went into other kinds of work. And
so you were a nurse? That's what you went to college for?
PSW.
Oh, PSW. And if you don't mind me asking, what made you leave? I'm sorry. For anybody listening, I have a dog on my lap that just will not stay quiet. So you're going to hear some whimpering from time to time. I'm sure I'll fall asleep at some point. What made you go into PSW?
I've always wanted to help people and, you know, try and change the world. And usually nursing is where people help others out. It's taking care of, you know, the elderly and the frail. And I love the job itself. And I love the attitude. Like, I was going in on my days off and talking to the residents and stuff like that just to, you know, help lighten the mood, and that's where I kind of went from it.
And that's, I'm seeing that's kind of your point of view in going into this bike ride. What was it called? I'm calling it a bike ride, but that's really underselling what's happening here. Ainbridge ride, is that how it's pronounced?
It's the Ainbridge ride to conquer cancer. Basically, it goes from Toronto to Niagara Falls on our pedal bikes.
This is not a relay. You're going from Toronto to Niagara.
Yes.
Jumpins.
Now, depending on which tier you're selecting, it can go from 200 kilometers to 260 kilometers. At this time, I'm registered for the 231, but I'm thinking of going up to the 260, depending on how many donations I can accumulate.
So you get to a certain point and you say, oh, maybe I can push this a little farther.
Exactly. Like their minimum for the Classic Plus, which is a 230-kilometer ride, is the 2,500. Now, at this point, I'm about 62%, I believe, this morning of where I'm supposed to be. I've got some donations promised from people around town and a couple out of town, which may push me over the edge. And once I reach that, I said, well, you know what? 260 is not that far. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's helping out a good cause. And it's a little bit more of a challenge. Like, if you're going to do something, go big or go home, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's this thing about going big and go home and your legs falling off halfway through. I guess I'm just talking about personal experience, because I can't imagine going that far on a bike ride myself. Like, have you always been like a long distance biker?
No, I'm not a long distance biker by any means. like last year, I'll admit I did the Great Canadian Cycling Challenge, which was again for children cancer awareness. And it was during the month of June. You had to do so many kilometers on your bike and raise donations. They were asking for 200 kilometers at that time, and I did 1,500. So basically, like, I knew, like, the one day I went to Werner and came back, and on the application itself, it said, oh, it's about 40 kilometers. So I did it twice. So I know I can do 80 kilometers in a day.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, well, 80 is not bad. And according to the race, like, the first day is going to be the biggest obstacle of it, because it is, like, you're leaving Toronto and all the different waves, because they want all the riders to show up at the same time. You, like, the first day will be the 160, for example, for the hammer. So you do the 160 on the one day, and then the last day is just 100, where everybody is going to be riding together, because we all spend the night in Hamilton, and that's where we'll be spending the night.
You say you have a map. Did you draw that?
Nope. I printed out, but my computer was having issues last night.
Because I've never, you printed out on lined paper, which kind of had me flustered a little.
Well, what happened is I had an interview yesterday with someone that was going to give me a donation.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to try and get everything together at the same time. And being with Big Brother, I spent the morning with my little yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got home, I'm like, oh, I have no white paper whatsoever. And these guys are going to ask, like, where am I going and how far it is? And they might want to see the map. So I took the first thing I had and grabbed some lined paper, threw it in the printer, and went, hey, guess what? This is what I'm printing.
You take whatever's available for you.
Exactly.
So speaking of donations, if somebody has heard about this so far, if you don't know, the Princess Margaret Cancer Center, if I read it correctly, is about not just like a cure, but the therapy throughout the experience?
It is the research and treatment of patients. Basically, it's one of the it's the fifth biggest research center in the world. It is the biggest one in Canada. And it's like one in six patients actually get referred there to get treatment and their operations and whatnot. So that's kind of why I went, you know what, let's do this and let's try to support these guys as much as possible.
And if somebody says, oh, yes, that's absolutely something I would like to support. You've been talking about interviewing for donations. Is that the process? People have to get in contact with you to donate to your personal ride?
They can go online and donate to, if they go to the Ride to Conquer Cancer website, and if they look up my name, then it goes under my donation block, I guess you call it. And basically it adds up to my total, which is where I'm heading for the, like I said, the original one was $2,500.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I'm really thinking of going to the 4,000.
you just keep upping the numbers on me.
Well, what happens is their minimum for the hammer, which is the 260-kilometer ride, is the $4,000.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking about it very strong.
And if you want to go to the website, it's conquercancer.ca, right?
Yes, I believe so.
That's where my research took me. But you have all the documents in front of you, so I'm going to go by your word.
Yeah, if you go to www.conquercancer.ca,
mm-hmm.
And again, like if you look at my name or participant number, which is the 633650-1, you'd come up with my name and you can make a donation right there online.
We'll have all that information in the description of this, by the way, so they can scroll down and see it all written out there for them, make it.
Or even at that, like I can send you the link.
Oh, perfect.
They just click on and it goes directly to my page at that point.
Makes it even easier. So yeah, go into the description. You'll see it there. You can donate directly. My question about the ride, you probably hear this one a lot. What if the weather sucks? Because this is happening mid-June, if I'm not mistaken.
It's June 8th and 9th.
June 8th and 9th, where you're traveling from Toronto to Niagara. I'm still processing that myself.
Yeah, it's an interesting process to process this, yes.
So what happens if it's a storm, thunder, wind, lightning?
You still ride.
You still ride.
Well, it's like, I know we used to have it here in town. I know it's still like in North Bay and Sudbury, like the Relay for Life, you know,
mm-hmm.
They'll walk rain, snow, sleet, whatever happens. As long as, you know, if it's a big thunderstorm, they'll go inside and obviously do it at that point in time. But, you know, it's to encourage cancer survivors and they witness this and they witness us doing this for them.
People can obviously donate. We talked about that. The link is there. You said April 16th is like the cutoff date for people that want to participate, or what's that? What's the significance of that date?
No, it's the online registration opens at that point.
Oh, it opens.
You can register at any time, once you go on after April 16th, you'll actually lock yourself into a race. A ride. So confirming what you'll be doing. So you can push it a little bit more. That's what I've been telling my wife. I'm like, I might try to push it till the 20th, you know, just to get a feel where I'm going to be. Like, I don't want to.
Before you lock in on the distance you want to do.
Exactly. Like, I don't want to be promised to go 4,000 and then land up short by $500 and still have to do some fundraising after I'm done the race. You know, it's kind of weird going to somebody and going, hey, I ride on June 8th and 9th. I know we're like the 20th of June. Can you still give me money for this? Because I want to try and raise my total.
I'm sure you take a picture of before and after, say, I did this, please help me raise money. I'm sure you'd get a few people on board.
Well, that's one of my plans. Like I said, I'm getting businesses in town here. Like, we have an incentive program that was brought forward by a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And basically any businesses that donate over $200 or $200 and over, I should say, we're getting a shirt printed with their logos on the back.
Oh, kind of like a NASCAR thing where you're between those areas. They can just see it fly by.
What it is I can't wear it the day of.
Oh.
Because they want us to all match. So they're giving us like the Ride to Conquer Cancer shirt. Again, there's different tiers because I was looking at this again.
So I think like the international, I guess, support color of cancer, I'm not sure what the actual term is. It's yellow. Like, they have those flowers and the ribbons that are
the daffodils.
The daffodils, thank you.
There's a whole bunch of colors. If you look into cancer, like yellow, I know for a definite is lung cancer. There's different ribbon colors and stuff like that. Yellow seems to be one of the major ones that we see everywhere.
The reason I bring it up is that the kind of visual they're going for when you're biking around, to just have a wave of yellow across the sidewalks? Or, like you said, there's different colors for different areas, but oh, you're handing me something.
Depending on different categories, I just handed to you there, like ambassadors, people that, you know, go fundraising a little bit more, and like, it's easier for people in Toronto and in bigger cities to get this. So like they have the bronze shirt, they have the silver shirt, and they have the gold shirt and platinum, I believe.
Okay,
and
so it's kind of like a rainbow of how many people have raised money.
But as you can see, most of them have like the yellow on the shoulder or something like that.
Okay.
That represents. So they want us to basically pretty much match when we leave. So the shirt that we'll be printing with my sponsors, I'll be wearing to the event, and that night once we get to the tent village, that's the shirt I'll be putting on to walk around.
Okay.
And once we come back to town and whatnot, I'll be taking pictures around town with the shirt, like with the sponsors and whatnot.
Okay, so the incentive is kind of, because this is a feel-good stuff. Like, I'm so proud of you and I've known you for 5 minutes. Like, this is such a feel-good incentive to get as much money towards this organization as possible. So that's kind of where the incentive comes in.
Yes, well, that's the thing. Like, I have my personal cancer stories. Everybody's, you know, once they approached me with this, like I said, last year I did the Great Canadian Cycling Challenge, and they saw, you know what, you went above and beyond. They actually called me in October, and they went, we have a new challenge for you.
So you did this. What about this?
So when they approached me with this, and they went, you know, you did this last year, we're going to do this. And it took me a while to look into it, because we all know, like, sometimes there's fraudulent stuff, unfortunately, and it's only certain percentage goes to the cause or certain.
Unfortunately, that does seem to be the case more often.
So this one, I looked into it, and like you probably saw on your research, everything goes to Princess Margaret, except for the little handling fee, I believe, is like $2.50 per donation.
Yeah, because I think sometimes there's like e-transfers and PayPal, and then legal stuff that needs to be paid.
Exactly. So it's like
the necessary stuff.
It's a $2.50 for whatever. So it doesn't matter. Like, if you want to get a whole bunch of people together, like, I know people that want to give me $5 here, $5 there. I throw everything together and make one big donation instead and pay the $2.50 once instead of doing littler donations at that point.
Mm-hmm. Not to belittle the tinier donations. No, like, if somebody has $2 or $5, it goes into a giant pot that just keeps growing.
Exactly. My plan was to have a jar and actually just people come around, they can throw a jar of like change in there once, you know, instead of taking a coffee, throw it in. Like I'm
so like a basket on the front of your vehicle, but a jar or a bicycle.
No, no. Like I'm thinking of setting up like I was going to approach some of the businesses in town and maybe put a table like on a Saturday or something that before the ride and go, hey, you know what? I'm doing this. Any change you can spare, you know, put it in a jar and, you
know, add that to your total.
I'll make that a donation at the end and go from there.
You had the, was it the Canadian Challenge?
The Great Canadian Cycling Challenge.
Great Canadian Cycling Challenge. You have this one. Did you have anything beforehand? I'm trying to get your history into the you actually biking, because we were talking a little off camera, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but you had a major transformation.
I did. What happened is, it's a longer story.
We have time if you want to. This is all what you want to tell me.
What happened is about 3 years ago now, I went to the hospital with a cough. Mm-hmm. And basically the doctor looked at me and said, okay, so you're a little bit out of shape, whatnot. And he's like, he wrote me a prescription. He says, you have to walk 2 hours every day, like every day nonstop for the next 2 years, or you're going to be, you know,
you'll suffer the consequences.
Your health is going to go down. He went to hand it to me and he went, no, no, you know what? I'm going to give it to your wife so she will make you do it.
You had yourself a smart doctor.
And so he went out and actually gave this prescription written on a piece of paper. We still have it at home somewhere.
You have it framed on the wall.
No, I haven't framed it yet. It's going to. Last year, I started framing my medals for what I've done last year. I just haven't done the prescription yet. But yeah, he gave the prescription to my wife. She's like, he has to walk 2 hours every day or you're going to lose him at some point. And she basically started me walking, and going back and thinking about that, like the first 2 hours that we walked was so hard. Like I remember walking like halfway through and I was soaking wet with sweat.
How long ago was this again, sorry?
About 3 years ago. And then last year, actually November, I guess it was August of 2017, my doctor approached me and said, you know what? We have a program in Sudbury, which is called the bariatrics diet. Not the surgery itself. Basically, it's the diet. So you go on to the OptiFast and you do shakes for a period of time, and it's medically supervised. So you're not just, you know, willy-nilly taking
You don't just buy a gym membership and do what you want. No, well, it's looked over.
It's looked over. Like, actually, that's coming in the story.
Oh, is it? Oh, my apologies. I don't mean to cut ahead.
So, like, he basically told me this, and I was always comfortable as a bigger person. Mm-hmm. At that point in time, I was close to the 400 pounds. Mm. And I said, you know what? I'll go see, but I don't believe in this thing. It's not going to happen, you know, whatnot. And I went to the orientation, and basically they looked at me and they were having like the orientation with the whole group. And they kept on talking. They're like, oh, this is that. And this, and you know, if you do this, it's going to help you and it's going to help your health. And nothing really clicked. And then the one person said the one thing, and it all fell into place. And that was my turning point.
What did they say?
Basically, they said obesity is a legal form of suicide. You're eating yourself to death. And I kind of went, oh, it might not work for everybody. But when he said that, it just clicked. And I went, oh, my God. Yeah, I'm eating myself to death. And I said, okay, let's try this program. Like, I took the information home. And with the program, they keep on talking about ketosis and, you know, you're going to only be taking 900 calories a day and you have to take these shakes for 3 months. And it scared my wife to death.
Oh, really? Your wife?
She looked at it and she went, I don't like ketosis. Like, we've tried the keto diet and I don't like this and I don't like. And I said, look, it's medically supervised. At that point in time, it was costing us, I believe it was like $100 a week for the shakes.
Really?
And I'm like, I eat more than $100 a week right now as is. Let's try it. Worst case scenario, I do a week. I don't like it. We stop.
Move on to the next thing.
My doctor can't complain about it. I tried it, right?
You still have to do the 2 kilometers.
Yeah, well, I was still doing the 2 kilometers, and I'm sure you guys have seen me around town with the cowboy hat and the leather coat. I walk around all the time. Like, I walk to and from work. I walk on my breaks. I walk on my lunch. I'm walking everywhere. I'm jogging now. But like at that point in time, like that's what I told my wife, and she agreed to do this program. So we started in November of 2017. I did my first class and we started doing the shakes, and I went through the November from hell, basically. And it has nothing to do with the shakes. Like the November would have cost, like if I was on food, I would have eaten like house and home at this point.
Oh, really?
That's how bad the November was.
Jeez.
Like I went through, I lost my grandmother at the beginning of November. And then my uncle passed away from cancer at that point in time. And my sister miscarried a child at that point. And my dog had an embolism in the spinal cord. So she got paralyzed. Her back two legs are paralyzed. So this all happened in the 1 month of November when I'm starting shakes. so like the shakes were like I was eating my I was doing my shakes but it took everything out of me not to just order pizza. Like the day everything felt like it started falling apart and I'm like, I just want to order pizza. And I called up the center and I went, you know what, guys, I want to eat a pizza at this point. Like I'm going to drop off the shakes. And they're like, why do you want to eat the pizza? I'm like, well, have you heard of my month?
it's easier. I just want some comfort right now.
And they're like, no, you can't do that. You're doing so good. And so they kind of talked me through it. One of the members in the group itself, like I was texting her and she's like, no, you can do this. We're going to do this together. And we got through it and I did my 3 months with the shakes and Christmas was another hard one.
Oh, geez. Of course, so you had November, so then the month
starting
later.
November and then come December, you know, you have Christmas and New Year's. You can't have the Christmas food and the Christmas.
Oh.
Because you're on shakes, right? So it's four shakes a day. You're doing this and you can't eat anything extra. Like you have two cups of celery, I think is what we were allowed at that time.
Oh, dear.
Two cups of celery a day just because you need something to crunch. Like eventually you're going to go nuts just drinking shake, right?
Yeah, I see that.
So like I'm sitting there at Christmas dinner eating my celery.
Oh, and everybody else is having the turkey.
Everybody else is having turkey. Sipping. But, you know, good came of this program. Like, I'm one of the exceptions, and that's what they kind of told me right off the bat. I guess because of November and everything else, I got really into it. And, I started working out. And
so is this kind of like your avenue, your how to deal with this stress was the shakes and the working out and the exercise?
Well, that's where I'd switched to. Like, before November, if I got upset or anything like that, I was going to comfort food and pizza and whatnot. Okay. When the shake started, there's a whole course. Like you have to go to Sudbury, you have to go attend these courses every week, and they look into why are you eating and is it emotional eating or are you hungry? And you know, food is supposed to be for nutrition, not for comfort. So they're looking into this, and they're like, oh, if you reach a goal, how about you buy a song on iTunes or something like that for you to do.
So you got that kind of push from outside because you reached a goal, you treated yourself to...
Exactly, to something.
Okay.
And then because I was so upset, I started working out a little bit. And that's where the funny part is because, you know, they had said, you know, you have to walk the 1 mile, like the 2 hours a day and whatnot. And come February, I kept on doing challenges. Like with my wife, we did like the ab crunch challenge for January. And it was about halfway through and I felt faint. And I kind of mentioned it at one of our meetings and she's like, well, how much are you doing? And I pulled out my sheet and I said, well, this is what we're doing today. Like, I think it was like 100 crunches, 100 sit-ups, squats and jumping jacks. And she's like, you're taking 900 calories a day and you're working out to burn over 1,000. She's like, you have nothing left in your tank.
That doesn't surprise me at all. You've made me picture yourself as an overachiever and you're just piling on more and more evidence.
So she basically said, she says, you have to stop this challenge now till you get more calories into you. Like you can't be working out like this. So yeah, I finished off the program and kept on going. And like when they reintroduced food, they're like, okay, so you can start working out a bit. And then of course they look at me and they go, except for you, you need to relax a little bit. Like even our last meeting that we had in October, it's a 2-year program. Basically, they follow you for 6 months. It's once a week, and then 6 months, it's once a month, and then it's once a year at the 2-year mark. So basically, in October was our last group reunion. And they're like, oh, we're all doing good. And the average weight loss for everybody in the group is 40, except for Gisele. You know, they're like, he's the exception to every rule. Do not compare yourself to him.
He throws off the numbers far too much.
Exactly. Like I said, they're like, oh, the average is about 40 pounds. Gisele lost 150. Like, so I'm going, okay. But like I said, with the November from hell, I guess I just went, you know what? I threw myself into working out instead of binging on food. And like I was explaining to you, at that point in time, I basically self-titled myself.
Yes, you did.
I wrote them a letter afterwards, and then I explained, and the title of it was From Couch Potato to Mud Hero. And basically, that's what it is. Like, I started November 2017, and I want to say June 2nd of 2018, I did my first Mud Hero run.
Oh, yeah. What is a Mud Hero run?
It's a 5K run with obstacles. Like, there's 18 obstacles. Like, you're running over, jumping over 6-foot walls and climbing rope ladders. And
so kind of like that start when you see actors going through that military thing on movies and TV. Similar to that.
Yeah.
A little more fun, I'm assuming.
I'll go with that, yeah.
You'll go with that. Well, the thing is, I think in military, they're yelling at you to do it. You volunteered for the mud run.
I paid for it.
You paid for it.
I pay to do this. Yeah, so last year I did 3 mud runs, and this year I've got a little bit more packed schedule.
Yeah, you showed me your little schedule there. At least 3 things a month that I saw.
Every weekend, pretty much.
And it's a different thing. It's not just the mud runs or the cycling. You've got a whole
list
of stuff.
On the 28th, I'm doing the Maple Sap Run in Powassan.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got the Run for Health, which is in town here.
The General Hospital's putting that on.
Yes, the General Hospital's putting that on May 4th, which, of course, is Star Wars Day. So I'll be showing up. I told you my costume. I'm showing up as a stormtrooper.
Which is incredible, because I threw around the idea, like, what if the summer decides to kick in a little early, and you just looked at me and was like, oh, well.
Yeah.
He's going to run around a sweaty stormtrooper.
Well, last year I did the 5K for the hospital. I did mm-hmm. the Run for Health. I did a 5K last year, and somebody showed up in full fireman's gear.
Really?
And they did the 5K, or they might have actually did the 10K at that point in time. But yeah, they showed up full gear with the air tank and everything, and they did the run that way. So I said, you know what? It's May the 4th. I'm going to do it as a stormtrooper.
Hey, there you go.
And then like May 18th, I have a 5K terrain race out in Lake Erie, Pennsylvania.
Now, are all these private events or people can... I know the one we've mentioned so far are volunteer. You can show up, but are all
No, you have to pay for these.
All of these are paid for?
All of these are paid for, yeah.
Okay.
So like the hospital one in town here, I believe it was $25 for the 5K and $35 for the 10K. Same thing with the Maple Sap Run. I believe it was, I believe I paid a whole $30
wow.
for that one. This is the one that I kind of surprised myself with. It's a terrain race, mud race in Lake Erie, Pennsylvania. Now, I kind of surprised myself because I Googled the address mm-hmm. last year and I went, okay, you know what? It's only like 6 hours. I didn't take into account. Apparently, my Google decided they were just looking for Lake Erie. It didn't look for the actual location. but the race was free, and that's exactly it. Like, they're like, oh, sign up for this mud run. It's free. You get a T-shirt. You get a medal and everything. I'm like, oh, sure, I'll sign up for it. You know, I'll do anything twice.
Mm-hmm.
So I signed up for it, and I'm like, it's 6 hours. That's usually my rule. Anything 6 hours around, I'll go run a race 6 hours away. That's not a big deal.
But your cutoff is 7?
Is usually around 6, 6.5. Yeah.
Okay.
So this one, when I Googled it last week, I'm like, ooh, it's like 8.5 hours away.
But you already put your name in.
But I put my name in, and because it's in the States, I had to pay $20 for health insurance with the mud run. But like I said, it's an experience. It's something I'm going to do. It is my 40th birthday this year. I'm in the best shape of my life, so I'm going all out. And come October, once I'm done most of these, I'll probably have a medal shot.
Really?
So I'll put the medals on their arms and around their necks, and mm-hmm. I'll have one of those because at this point I've got, I believe, 10 races, the bike ride, and I'm still looking for more. As
he's got a whole schedule planned out for, let's see, it goes until about August, I'm seeing there.
The races go right up to September 14th at this point.
And you're still not done.
I'm not done.
Holy jumpins.
The one, like, I have a couple that scare me to death.
You have about, let's see, about 20 options there. You have 19 that scare me to death.
The first one that scares me is the Ride to Conquer Cancer. I've never been to Toronto in my life.
Oh, no.
And apparently I'm going there on the Friday to hand my bike over and park my truck. And we're taking off from there going to Niagara Falls. So after that, I kind of took the 1 month off because I went to the Spartan Challenge.
Okay.
On July
27th.
Yeah. It's the toughest mud run in Canada. Now, I did take the Classic, I believe I wrote there.
Let's see here.
No, the sprint, sorry.
Yeah, you took the sprint.
Yeah, so I took the sprint, which is the smallest one of the three. Mm-hmm. So there's the sprint, I know the last one is the beast.
Yep.
But so the Spartan race is one of the toughest ones. Like anything that you can't, like any obstacles you can't do, they're making you do burpees and they're yelling at you like military.
Oh, like it is like that stereotype. Yeah,
that one is like that. And that's the one that scares me the most.
Because that's the one that kind of pushes. Right now, I think the challenge for you is what you put on yourself. This one seems like, well, everybody else is now going to push me to go farther.
No, I'm definitely challenge oriented. Mm-hmm. I've noticed that, like I said, I used to be a gamer, and that's what I kind of figured out. I played Xbox to get trophies and get achievements. Now I do this to get achievements.
Actual physical trophies and achievements.
Like, I'm not going to be, I can't play video games all the time. I'll be my real life superhero type thing. Yeah, I've got a very busy, even the zombie one I did last year.
I was going to say, that one seemed, like the rest of these seem like really important, like you're doing this to raise money, you're doing this to challenge yourself. Explain to me a zombie run.
Basically, you get chased by zombies through obstacles.
Fantastic.
So like that one's in Niagara Falls. I did it last year, and they give you three flags, which is your lifelines. The zombies steal lifelines off of you. If you finish a race with a flag, you get a survivor's medal. If you don't have a flag, then you have an infected medal. So last year was my first one that I did of this, and it was on a whim, and that's exactly what happened.
You got the infected medal?
Yeah, I got the infected medal last year. Well, basically, I woke up on the Monday, and I went, you know what? Next weekend, I have nothing to do. Let's go do this zombie mud run. And we took off on the Saturday morning and showed up there at 10 o'clock, and I ran at 10:30. I drove from, I think it was like 5 o'clock in the morning, till I got there at 10. Basically registered and said, okay, I'm off to run now.
Yeah, sitting down in the car is enough laziness for me. I'm just going to go out and run.
And that's exactly it. Like, it's changed so much. Like, even just driving to Ottawa, I have to stop midway and go for a run.
Really?
Like, that's how excited I am now about health. Like, I built a gym in my house. I'm building obstacle courses in my backyard at this time.
You're going to have your own mud run in 2 years' time.
I want to approach the council about that because we have the perfect spot for it and the Rod and Gun Club here in town.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we could bring a mud run to Sturgeon. That's why I've been looking at some of these and I'm going, we don't need an actual Mud Hero, which is a brand name, which online and they go through Everbright and Active to register. We could have our own, the Sturgeon Falls Mud Run. Yeah. Build our own course.
Throw it for some fun, or maybe have it be a fundraiser as well.
Exactly. Yeah, for the town. I want to approach the council. I have a couple of ideas that I want to throw around with them. I'm not sure which route to go with them at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things that I have in mind and I'll be looking forward to.
I was going to say, you have been an absolutely fascinating person. Thank you so much for joining me today. And to donate towards the Enbridge ride to conquer cancer?
Exactly.
It is the Enbridge. Okay.
Enbridge, yeah.
I make notes, but there's always that one thing I forget to write down. Then follow the link down in the description. Thanks again so much for coming by.
Well, thanks for having me.